What are you placing me under arrest for?
Prepare to obey me right now.
Are you living in a constitution-free zone? And you don't even know it? Well, Federal District Judge Edward Corman recently upheld a policy of the Obama administration stripping away many rights to privacy within 100 miles of national borders. Critics say the ruling violates protection against illegal search and seizure protected by the Fourth Amendment.
The searches are allowed to be completely suspicionless, and they apply to anyone within a 100-mile radius of the borders. So do you see that red line that's going around the map? Well, if you're within that zone, your cell phone and laptop and other electronic devices can be searched without a cause.
Now, tell me about these constitutional free zones, you know, because I heard a little bit about this, but I saw the report you did. It was an excellent report. So give us some more detail on this.
It's amazing to me that no one's talking about this. The DHS now says it's above the law, it's above the Constitution, and that 197 million citizens of the United States now live in a constitution-free zone. What that means is the Fourth Amendment doesn't exist, and that anytime anyone living in these areas can be searched by the Department of Homeland Security.
The Department of Homeland Security has effectively abolished the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable search and seizure within 100 miles of the border. The ACLU points out that this zone would include the entire population of Florida, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Michigan.
Yeah, we actually have a graphic provided from the ACLU, who is, again, suing them right now. Mm-hmm. And you can see the 100-mile zone absorbs Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Houston. This is just from the top of my head.
Right.
And, I mean, it's suffocating.
Pretty much the entire state of Florida.
The entire state of Florida,
yeah.
The entire state of Maine, a good portion of Texas where we're at right now. I mean, Austin barely survives this massive quote-unquote border.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are doing this. I'm sure you've now noticed the videos are all over online, all over the country, in Washington State and Vermont and Minnesota. People will be 100 miles in, 50 miles in. They're trying to drive to work. You got to drive through a checkpoint. They want to search you. They want you to answer questions. People get sick of it. This isn't Nazi Germany.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me here. I'm Pastor Steve Anderson, Faithful Word Baptist Church. I want to start out by playing a video of some actual footage from an encounter I had a little less than a year and a half ago when I was tasered and beaten by the police and thrown in jail for refusing to let them search my trunk. As he cues up the video, I'll just begin to tell the story a little bit. In addition to pastoring the church at that time, I also ran a fire alarm business that operated in several states. So I was doing a lot of traveling, and I was coming home from a business trip late at night, and I was stopped at a random, suspicionless border patrol checkpoint. Of course, it was 75 miles from the border on a highway that goes east to west. Basically, they wanted me to answer a lot of questions. They wanted to search my vehicle, search the trunk, and I basically asserted my right not to answer questions and not to be searched without a warrant.
Are you a U.S. citizen, sir?
Am I free to go?
Can you roll down your window, sir?
No, sir.
Can you roll down your window, sir?
No.
Are you a U.S. citizen, sir?
Am I free to go?
Are you a U.S. citizen, sir?
Am I free to go?
Would you go ahead and go under that tarp, sir?
Can I go on my way, please?
Go ahead, sir.
May I go on my way, please?
Can you please go under that?
Can I go, please?
No, sir.
Sir, you're being secondary for a canine alert, okay?
I'd like to go on my way, please.
Right now, the dog alerted to your vehicle. And the dog is trained to alert on the odors of hidden people and control...
So what crime am I being suspected of right now?
Of either having somebody in your trunk or drugs in your car.
Based on what?
The dog's alert.
And I asked them to tell me, well, what did the dog do to tell you that? Because the dog just walked over, sniffed, and pretty much walked away. And I asked them to bring the dog over a second time and show me. They refused to do it. I never saw the dog again. So I sat there for over an hour just waiting for them to let me go. They just held me there. They wouldn't let me go anywhere. Well, after a little over an hour, the DPS showed up, the Department of Public Safety, which is basically like the Highway Patrol of Arizona. Well, the DPS has finally arrived after a little over an hour.
Throw your window down a little bit. Let me talk to you.
No, thank you. I'm going to leave my window up.
The Department of Public Safety. Once the canine alerted to your vehicle, these agents have every...
That's not what happened.
Cause.
That's not what happened.
Yes, it is.
No, it is. Were you here? How do you know that's what happened?
They told me.
No, they asked me three questions that I refused to answer. Then they started talking about the dog.
Well, they
acted completely normal before that. No, they're making stuff up. Go get the dog over here again. Let's see the dog over here. Let's see the dog make the drug dance then. I'd like to see that.
You guys want to do that or no?
Yeah, get the dog out. Come on. If what they're saying is really true, officer, if what they're saying is true, then the dog will come do the dance again, right? Go get the dog.
The DPS officer asked the Border Patrol if they would get the dog out, and they told him no.
And where's the dog? Where's the proof?
We're going to have to...
They're making stuff up, and you won't even test it right now because you know they're making it up.
Later in court, the prosecution's expert witness, who actually trained the exact dog that was working at the checkpoint that night, explained that the dog was trained to alert by sitting down when it smelled the presence of narcotics or concealed humans. After reviewing the surveillance tape from the checkpoint, he confirmed that the dog did not sit down, but that it simply had walked over to the car, sniffed it, and walked away. Therefore, the video evidence demonstrated that the Border Patrol agents were lying when they said that the dog alerted.
I'm not under arrest. I'm not being accused of any crime, and yet I've been held here for an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, you can consider yourself under arrest.
So I'm under arrest?
Yeah, you are.
What am I being charged with?
Public thoroughfare.
I'm not blocking it. I've asked repeatedly to go. They are forcing me to be here.
No.
Yes, they are. So I can go? So I'm free? So am I free to go then if they're not forcing me to be here?
Under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the law. If you can't afford an attorney, you have the right to have an attorney appointed for you prior to any questioning if you desire. You understand your rights? You're going to come out of the car sooner or later. You might as well make it easy on everybody and come on out of there, okay?
Moments later, a second officer arrived on the scene and continued to demand that Pastor Anderson exit the car and consent to a search.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you placing me under arrest?
You are under arrest.
And what crime am I being charged with?
Hey, these guys are telling me that a canine alerted to your vehicle for the presence.
And I've asked repeatedly for that dog to be brought back out because I say that it didn't happen. And they are refusing to get the dog back out because they know that they're not telling the truth. Because I wouldn't answer their questions, they came up with that.
Or I'm going to take you out of the car.
Well, let me ask this. When you place someone under arrest, don't you have to put them under arrest for something specific?
Okay. I'm a police officer. I'm ordering you out of the car.
Will you answer my question, police officer?
Yeah, I'm a police officer.
What are you placing me under arrest for?
For failure to obey me right now.
So I have to obey you by law?
Yes, you still.
Even when you're stopping me without cause?
A gentleman from the DPS walked over to the passenger side of the vehicle and he got out a hammer and some other device and he was kind of tapping on the window for a couple minutes like as if he were, you know, getting ready to break the window. And he was on the passenger side, I'm all the way over on the driver's side. Well, they told me, you know, cover your eyes because there's going to be glass when we break this window in. So I put my hands over my face like this and I leaned forward to cover my eyes. And at that moment, not only did the officer on the passenger side break the window, but another hammer just came from out of nowhere. I didn't see this coming at all and shattered the window right behind my head. I mean, 6 inches from my head. So both windows shattered in the same instant. I'm like this with my face in my hands. And at that moment, I'm shot by tasers. The official record from the taser came out, and it showed basically about 20 seconds of tasing. Now, a typical taser shot lasts for 5 seconds if they just pull the trigger and shoot somebody with a taser. 5 seconds. This was 20 seconds, okay? Two different occurrences. I think the first one was for 13 seconds straight. And then the DPS officer's official statement said that he was told by the Border Patrol, quote, do it again. And so then he did it again for another 7 seconds. So I was tasered for 20 seconds straight. The video cuts out only one third of the way into me being tasered. Just because the camera was sitting upon the dash, I wasn't holding it. I had my eyes closed, my face in my hands.
And when they impacted the windows, the camera flew off the dash and just kind of shut in midair. It's amazing that it even captured as much as it did. Shattered out my windows, tasered me for 20 seconds straight, and basically you can see him swinging the baton at my window 5 times, shattering open the glass. And then what's going on right there, they basically took my head. I'm already paralyzed by 50,000 volts from the taser. My eyes were closed, I was covering my face, I wasn't fighting back at all, you can see from the video. So I'm in excruciating pain, I couldn't even control my body anymore, because when you're hit with these tasers, you're paralyzed. And so I couldn't even, my hand came down from my face, I was trying to put my hand back in front of my face, I couldn't even control my arm. I'm screaming in pain. One guy from the Border Patrol grabs my head and basically shoves it into the driver door where the broken glass was, where they had just busted out the window, and I could just feel the glass shoving into the side of my head here as he just jammed my face into that side of that door. It's proven by photographs showing the jagged glass on the edge of the door drenched in my blood in the exact shape of my head. They basically took my head and just shoved it in the broken glass on the door and just held it there and pressed it in. Then they grabbed me, threw me on the ground. Another officer stepped on my head, I mean, with it felt like his full body weight, and basically was just driving my face down into more broken glass asphalt, which is what all these cuts are from on my head. And he's got his foot on my head. Keep in mind, I had my hands like this over my face. I haven't resisted at all. I'm crying out for mercy. And they're just torturing me with these tasers again and again. And they're stepping on my head. They're shoving my face in broken glass for no reason. I wasn't resisting them. I wasn't fighting back. I was just limp, just begging for mercy. So then finally I decided maybe I should just be silent. Maybe they don't want me to cry out. So then I was just silent and still just tormenting me. So finally they stopped tasing me. They pick me up onto my feet. They take me into the trailer of the Border Patrol there. They put my hands by my back. They handcuff me. And so I'm sitting there in the chair with my hands handcuffed behind my back. The Border Patrol agents come in. They were laughing at me.
So how did this end? I mean, did they have any little celebrations when they put you in the car? Like, you idiot, you should have let us search.
Oh, yeah. So these men are laughing at me, razzing me, while blood is dripping from my face. I'm just sitting there, you know, helpless. I've been beaten horribly. And then C. Diaz told me, well, if you would have just answered the question, we would have let you go. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I thought that it was because the dog detected drugs or a human being in my car. I said, I just caught you in a lie. I hope these cameras have sound. So anyway, the DPS agent comes in. He read me my rights. I have the right to remain silent and so forth. They take me. They throw me in the back of the squad car. They drove me about 70 miles away from where I was going home. They drove me all the way back to Yuma. They took me to an urgent care center. For some reason, he didn't want me to go in there and get treated. I begged him to let me use the bathroom because I really had to go to the bathroom. I hadn't been in hours, and I drank a bunch of water, and I had to go really bad. I told him, I said, you know, I'm in pain. I have to go so bad. He said, no, just wait, just wait. You know, he gets out. He chats with another guy from DPS and kind of tells him the story while I'm waiting. And then finally he tells me, oh, it's just 5 minutes to the emergency room. You know, I'm holding the bathroom. He takes me over to the emergency room finally. You know, eventually I get in there. I use a bathroom. They clean my face for about an hour and said, hey, this is the best we can get it. This is the best we can clean it. They put 11 stitches in my head. And, you know, they cleaned out the glass. You can see the damage now that it's all cleaned up. Before, I just had a mask of blood on my face. They took me from the emergency room to the county jail.
You know, of course, I spent the night in jail, charged with failure to obey, and charged with the same charge that Michael Markavich was charged with, obstructing the highway. Of course, I was asking to leave, and they were keeping me there and holding me against my will.
I'm in a cell. I don't know what's happening. I don't know when I'm going to see a court. I figured it'd be within 24 hours. So then they basically pulled me out, and court was basically just a lady telling me that I have to show up on Friday at 10 a.m. And on Friday at 10 a.m. is going to be my arraignment, where I'm going to plead not guilty.
Later on the afternoon of the 15th, Pastor Anderson was released from the Yuma County Jail without being given the chance to call anyone to pick him up. As soon as he was released, he called his wife, who was hours away, and started walking the 3.5 miles distance to the only place he knew in Yuma, Round Table Pizza. When his wife finally arrived to pick him up, they drove back to Phoenix to record a video telling his story, which immediately went mega viral on YouTube. Soon the media was reporting on his experience.
An Arizona pastor tasered at a border checkpoint after refusing to step out of his vehicle, had his camcorder rolling. The incident is now under investigation. The video posted on YouTube. Let's bring in our internet reporter, Abby Tatton. All right, what does the video show?
Well, the Arizona Department of Public Safety called Pastor Stephen Anderson a combative motorist. But Anderson says he was just a citizen asking for an explanation of why he was being searched.
I'm a police officer. I'm ordering you out of the car.
Will you answer my question, police officer?
Yeah, I'm a police officer.
What are you placing me under arrest for?
Prefer to obey me right now.
Anderson doesn't know how many times he was tased. The camera dies soon after, but this surveillance video shows him dragged from the car, and 11 stitches later, he was arrested for resisting a lawful order. An investigation by the Arizona Department of Public Safety is underway. In a statement, they say Anderson refused to cooperate, and they raise the question of why he posted a YouTube video rather than filing a complaint. Anderson says he started carrying a camcorder after previous stops, and after this incident, he says that he didn't trust a complaint would go anywhere.
He's a pastor, too.
Yeah, of a small independent Baptist church in the Phoenix area.
All right, thanks very much. Pretty disturbing stuff.
You're coming out of this car one way or the other, and we're going to search this car.
We'll take a look. A Valley preacher says he took a beating at a Border Patrol checkpoint,
but that he did nothing wrong. CBS 5's Steve Filmer is live with more on this man's story. Steve.
Yeah, anybody traveling back along Interstate 8 from California or Yuma will know this Border Patrol checkpoint that's involved in this incident. It is not, though, actually on the border with Mexico.
Broken glass comes flying at me from both sides, and instantly I'm tased from both sides.
His story is vivid, his clothes still stained with blood. Blood Steven Anderson says poured out of his head and face as he was roughed up by a DPS officer and Border Patrol agents.
I'm sitting here like this, crying for mercy, screaming. Next thing I know, an agent takes my head and shoves it into the broken glass on the side of the window where he had just broken out the window. I can feel the glass shoving into my scalp. And then I'm thrown on the ground next. They're still tasing me throughout this.
Anderson is a preacher at this small Baptist church in Tempe. He says he was stopped at the Border Patrol checkpoint on Interstate 8 Wednesday night. He was riding back to the valley from San Diego. He's told to pull aside. An hour goes by while he sits in his car. DPS arrives to tell him he's under arrest.
He said, "Our dog alerted us that you either have a human being or drugs in this trunk."
Anderson insists he doesn't have to submit to the search. That, he says, leads to the officers breaking windows, firing tasers.
I was the one that I had trouble pulling out.
Then humiliating him while he's in handcuffs.
And they're laughing at me. "Oh, you're not so tough now. You didn't think we were going to search you, huh?" And they're laughing at me, they're razzing me, and it's all on those Border Patrol surveillance tapes.
Today I just wanted to give you a quick update on the legal battle regarding the incident where I was beaten and tasered by the Border Patrol for standing up for my Fourth Amendment right not to be searched without a warrant. Well, first of all, we're in the phase right now where it's a defensive battle because I'm being charged with these two misdemeanors, failure to obey the officer's order and obstructing the public highway. In the future, obviously, there will be a federal suit filed against them for excessive force and brutalizing me, wrongful arrest, and on and on. But at this point, I have to defend myself against these two misdemeanors that I'm being charged with. Well, early in June, there was a telephonic pretrial conference between the defense attorney, Mark Victor, and the prosecutor. And just to give you an idea of what kind of a person this prosecutor is, you know, I travel a lot for business, and I had filed a motion to be allowed to travel from state to state because originally they had said that I wasn't allowed to leave the state of Arizona. And, you know, it's just two misdemeanors. Well, you know, I was granted by the judge permission to do that. Well, this prosecutor filed a motion to restrict me from traveling from state to state, you know, just trying to ruin my business, trying to punish me any way possible. And he stated as the reason why I shouldn't be allowed to travel from state to state is that I'm a dangerous person. You know, I'm a danger to law enforcement. Now, isn't that ridiculous? I'm the one who was beat up. I never lifted a finger. I never fought back or resisted or anything. No one's even accusing me of that. And yet,
you know, I'm dangerous. That just shows you what kind of a Nazi this prosecutor is. Well, anyway, the defense attorney and he had this telephonic conference. He wouldn't budge on anything, so nothing really came of it, so we're going to trial. In the mail, I got this paperwork, and it's basically a list of things that the prosecutor wants to enter as evidence because he has to disclose those things. And he has this long list of my preaching that he wants to use as evidence. Now, keep in mind, this whole case is about me refusing a warrantless search at a checkpoint. I never even brought up the fact that I was a pastor because it wasn't the issue. The issue was that I was an American, and therefore I have rights guaranteed me by the Bill of Rights. And basically, he wants to enter all these different sermons as evidence against me. Now, the funny thing is that all of these sermons were preached after the events in question on April 14th. But let me give you an example. He wants to enter my sermon entitled Gender Identity as evidence. The sermon is all about the roles of men and women. It's all Bible-based. It uses a ton of scripture from the Bible. How is that evidence in this case? He's also entering as evidence against me a sermon that I did on the Antichrist, the one world government, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. So apparently, according to this prosecutor, that's what I'm on trial for, what I believe, who I am, what my opinions are, what my political views are. This is unbelievable that he would get a paycheck from our tax dollars to sit and listen to my preaching and to try to use my preaching against me. These are charges that have nothing to do with religion. I never even mentioned the fact that I was a pastor, and yet I'm being put on trial apparently because I believe that 9/11 was an inside job. That's another YouTube clip that he has listed here as evidence against me. Another YouTube clip, this one is on, you know, why I hate Barack Obama. That's evidence against me for why I'm guilty of not submitting to a warrantless search at a Border Patrol checkpoint. And so this is unbelievable. This stuff is totally irrelevant. Now, I'll stand by everything that I preach. I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm the one who put it on the internet. So I don't have a problem with anybody, you know, hearing what I've preached. I'll stand by what I've said. But the point is that this guy is trying to put me on trial, apparently, for what I believe and what I preach. I thought this was a free country. I thought I was allowed freedom of religion, freedom of speech. I didn't know that I had to fit some kind of a societal norm in order to have rights as an American.
Before Pastor Anderson's jury trial, a pretrial hearing was scheduled to discuss the constitutionality of the Border Patrol checkpoint where he was arrested. If the checkpoint were found unconstitutional, the charges would be dropped. In the pretrial hearing, the truth came out that although this checkpoint was masquerading as a Border Patrol checkpoint, it was actually being operated as a drug checkpoint, which has been declared unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Agent Gomez, can you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Ernesto Gomez, E-R-N-E-S-T-O-G-O-M-E-Z.
Agent Gomez, who were you working for on April 14th, 2009?
The U.S. Border Patrol.
And how long had you been working for the U.S. Border Patrol at that point?
3 years.
And what was your position of employment at that point in time?
I am a U.S. Border Patrol agent.
What does that entail?
Enforcing immigration laws and looking for narcotics on the field.
Good afternoon. You can say good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You testified that your job is enforcing immigration laws and detecting narcotics. Is that correct?
No.
You didn't say that?
I didn't say detecting narcotics. I don't believe.
Is part of your job detecting narcotics?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson refused to go to secondary.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't you arrest him?
The objection, Your Honor, relevance.
Why didn't you arrest him?
At the time, I didn't have a reason to arrest him, sir.
He hadn't committed a crime?
No, sir.
No violation of federal law?
No, sir.
Are you or were you at the time certified to enforce any state laws?
No, sir.
Are you now?
Yes, sir.
What are you cross-certified to do regarding state laws now?
Issue citations for narcotic violations, sir.
Narcotic. Anything else?
That is it, sir.
Only narcotic violations?
Yes, sir.
The only thing Agent Spoon and Moore could do is write citations for narcotics violations.
To my knowledge, yes, sir.
That's the way it is now?
Yes, sir.
To the best of your knowledge, it wasn't any different back then?
Yes, sir.
Because the canine is trained to find the odors of. If the individual had smoke and marijuana or if there was odor within the vehicle prior to arriving to the point, the dog's going to alert to that also because the dog's trained to find concealed people and the odors of narcotics.
If that's the state's witness and that's the state's evidence, then what we have now is the clearest possible scenario of a checkpoint that is not just an immigration checkpoint. This is a general crime control checkpoint. This agent has now testified that among the various things that this checkpoint exists to accomplish is to detect drugs. That's the end, Judge. Drug checkpoints are unconstitutional. They're unconstitutional, and there is no argument that they're not unconstitutional. The state's witness testified that this checkpoint has multiple purposes, one of which is to detect drugs. There are several other purposes that are also unconstitutional. The Supreme Court has ruled that immigration checkpoints can be, under certain circumstances, which was the primary avenue of attack, that they didn't follow those circumstances, which, by the way, is still our argument. The Supreme Court has said that DUI checkpoints, under certain circumstances, are constitutional. But they have also said, clearly, that general crime control checkpoints, like checkpoints for drugs, like this checkpoint, as evidenced by the state's witness, are flat unconstitutional.
Your Honor.
As if we needed anything else, Judge.
Are you asking the court to make a ruling based on the testimony that I heard without listening to the other witnesses because it may be the same testimony?
I think the court has enough evidence right now to rule and should that this entire checkpoint is unconstitutional. And that should be the ruling. And I think anything else we do today is just a waste of time unless the state's going to try to change the testimony that's already come out.
Unfortunately, the judge was not able to rule on the constitutionality issue because the prosecutor failed to provide key documentation that was requested. Therefore, the defense attorney, Mark Victor, sought to have the case dismissed with prejudice.
If the state is too big and too incompetent to follow their duties and follow their obligations, they shouldn't run a checkpoint like this where they stop thousands and thousands of citizens. If I was in charge of that checkpoint and I was stopping thousands and thousands of citizens based on the opinion of a dog, which is exactly what we have here, I might be prepared to produce, especially when asked, the records of that dog. It's outrageous, Judge, and there is no remedy, none, short of dismissal with prejudice that would be appropriate in this circumstance.
The judge did, in fact, dismiss the case with prejudice. However, the prosecutor appealed her decision. The appeal was granted, and her decision was overturned. The jury trial would go on. After hearing all the evidence over the course of the two-day trial, the jury returned a not guilty verdict. One of the jurors even shook Pastor Anderson's hand and thanked them for standing up for their rights as Americans.
I want to thank you for your service to the community. Since the verdict has been returned, you are now free to discuss the case with among yourselves, with the attorneys. You need to hand all your notes to Ms. Vader to be destroyed. Thank you, you are now excused.
Where do they go?
Hey, settle down.
DPS officer Russ Jones, who was the officer who arrested Pastor Anderson at the checkpoint, went on to campaign and be elected as the Justice of the Peace for Welton, Arizona, where the checkpoint is located. This put him in a position to be the deciding judge on all future cases that would come out of that checkpoint. This was the arresting officer who, after 28 years with the DPS, had to read Pastor Anderson's rights to him from a cue card and still jumble them up. Apparently, people's rights are not very high on this man's list of important things to know as a police officer, and he will be deciding the future cases that arise from that checkpoint. Pastor Anderson still continued to travel for business in the years following his arrest, and he continued to exercise his Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights to not answer questions at Border Patrol checkpoints.
You've driven to San Diego or Los Angeles, no doubt you've encountered them. Border Patrol checkpoints along the freeway.
Sometimes there are several of them on that six-hour drive, but most people just answer the questions and they're on their way. Not one Valley man. He openly defies the Border Patrol, refusing to answer their questions. And he's caught the tense encounters on tape.
Britt Moreno has the story tonight. Britt?
Yeah, guys, Stephen Anderson is a Tempe preacher, but he has another business in California, so he's always on those highways. He's very familiar with those checkpoints, and he calls it standing his ground.
American citizen.
Am I free to go?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good. You guys both United States citizens? I'm not really sure because, you know, I thought I was born free if I was an American citizen, so I didn't know I'd have to stop at checkpoints and tell people where I was going and where I'm heading. So after going through enough of these checkpoints, I'm starting to wonder whether I am or not. So maybe you can help me out. Am I still an American citizen or?
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Hey.
U.S. citizen?
Hey, actually, a more important question than that, you know, it's asked one time in the Bible, it's what must I do to be saved? Mm-hmm. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So, hey, if you got about 10 minutes, I can walk you through that in the Bible and show you how to be saved.
I can't right now.
You can't? Now's not a good time?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Have a good one, sir. Thank you.
Yep. See you later. What's up, man?
How you doing today, sir?
Good.
You a U.S. citizen?
That's my business.
Well, it's our business to ask. Are you a U.S. citizen or not?
You can ask. That's fine.
And you have to answer me, right? I have to detain you until you can either tell me that you're a U.S.
Well, I don't have to answer you because I have rights as an American.
Sir, go ahead and pull over there. We're behind that other vehicle if you do me a favor.
No thanks. I'd like to just go on my way.
You can go on your way as soon as you tell me if you're a U.S. citizen.
Well, you know, I didn't know that I have to go around proving that I'm a citizen. Do I need to like show my papers like the Nazis or? I'm not, am I immigrating somewhere or? Is this Mexico or?
United States.
Huh?
Just answer the question yes or no. It's a simple yes or no. You can either answer it or we can detain you here until we figure out whether you're a U.S. citizen.
Well, you know what's more simple is the fact that my freedom is a little more important than you seem to think. And that, you know, setting up checkpoints where people have to prove that they're a citizen is not something that America is supposed to be about. So I'm not sure if you understand that.
Huh?
No.
He doesn't want to tell me a citizen.
Well, I'm just driving down the road here and I've been stopped for some reason and I'm, you know. No, thank you.
Border Patrol agents then asked him to pull off to the side of the road.
No, thank you.
I want you to pull up secondary, sir.
No, thanks. I want to go free on my way.
And even though he refuses to comply, he was let go.
Go ahead and go where?
Keep going on the road.
Okay, see you later.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'd like you to tune this one a little bit, considering...
Go to secondary for me, sir, to the right?
No.
I need you to go to secondary, sir.
No, thank you. No. You know, I don't know why you've held me up in this traffic jam for the last 20 minutes. This is the third checkpoint I've been through in the last couple hours. No, thank you. I'd like to go free on my way, please.
What's up, ma'am?
What's up?
All right. Can we have you pull into secondary, please?
No, thank you. I'd like to go free on my way.
Why are you free?
Why don't you want to go secondary?
Maybe it's because I've just sat in traffic for the last 20 minutes, and I'm already running late, and I don't have time to stop at your Nazi checkpoint and show my papers today. You know, I thought this is America. I thought I had some freedom to travel unmolested, and I'm just trying to go about my business here. You know, I don't have time to play games with you guys. I don't know what you think you're doing here.
All right,
stopping me for no reason.
Heather, can you run this car really quick?
You know, you stopped me for no reason. I've waited in traffic for the last 20, 30 minutes that you guys created this traffic jam. I got places to go. I have to go make an honest living.
All right, hold on.
You know, and you guys want to screw around with me. What's up?
How you doing today, sir?
Good.
Is the back window rolled down? I'd like to see it all the way if I can. It's kind of tempting, so is it okay for
you? No.
Not okay?
No, I'm not going to put it down.
Okay. Oh, you don't want to come this way? Alright. Alright, well, are you a citizen, sir?
That's my business.
Your citizenship is actually, I have the right to ask, so.
Well, you have the right to ask, and I have the right to not answer.
Choose not to answer, then I have the right to secondary you and detain you until I determine whether or not you're a United States citizen.
Oh, okay. So what gives you that right as I travel freely in the United States here?
Along with United States rules, I-847 gives us the right to post a checkpoint anywhere within 100 air miles of the United States-Mexican border.
Oh, okay. So the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply anymore?
It does.
Okay. So what's the purpose of this checkpoint?
If you want us, because we're holding up traffic, if you really want...
Yeah, I know you guys. I noticed you guys are holding up traffic.
If you really
yeah.
want to know, you can go ahead and pull in a secondary.
Well, I don't really want to know. I just want to go on my way. I'd like to go to work now.
Okay. Can you state so, what country you're a citizen of then?
What's that?
Can you state which country you're a citizen of?
Why do I have to do that?
If you're not going to answer what country you're a citizen of, we have the exact right to answer.
Oh, you guys have the right
yes,
to... Okay.
Yes. Please pull in the secondary inspection area, okay?
Oh, I don't want to be inspected.
Well, you are being inspected.
So why am I being inspected? What do you guys suspect me of?
Have a good day, sir.
Yeah, see you later.
How you doing?
Hey.
You a citizen?
I'm actually a citizen of Israel.
Of Israel?
Uh-huh.
Is this your vehicle, sir?
Huh?
Is this your vehicle?
That's my business.
All right, do you have the documents to be in the U.S.?
Yeah, I got my documentation that I'm a citizen of Israel right here.
All right,
can I show you real quick?
Stop sign, please.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Hey. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Not too bad. U.S. Border Patrol checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
What country are you a citizen of?
I'm actually a citizen of Israel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have your immigration documents?
Yeah, well, I have a documentation right here that says I'm a citizen of Israel. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It says right here, it says that at a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then verse 19, it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So according to that, I'm a citizen of Israel. So.
Okay, do you have any identification on you?
Yes, I do.
Can I see it?
Is there a law that states that I have to show identification at this checkpoint?
Yes. I don't know what that book is.
This is the Holy Bible.
Okay, well... U.S. law, you need to show me identification.
Okay, what law? What law says that I have to show you identification? Is this like I have to show my papers at a checkpoint?
Yes,
like,
it's exactly.
Okay.
Immigration documents.
Mm-hmm. And am I have I crossed the border into a country? Am I immigrating right now?
Where were you born, sir?
Am I immigrating right now?
Where were you born?
Well, I mean,
were you born in Israel?
Is there a law that says that I have to answer your questions?
Yes. Where? You're telling me you're a citizen of Israel.
Right, but I'm saying I'm a citizen of Israel through the blood of Christ. I'm not saying that I was born in Israel.
Okay.
I'm saying that according to Ephesians chapter 2...
What country were you born in, sir?
Because of Ephesians chapter 2, the fact that I believe on Jesus Christ has made me a citizen of Israel, according to the Bible.
What country were you born in? You're not answering my question.
I'm not answering your question.
Okay. What country were you born in?
I mean, you can keep asking me over and over again, but, you know, I don't have to answer questions. I mean, this isn't Nazi Germany, right?
No, sir.
I'm just driving down the road.
Let me ask you something. Is vehicle registered to your name?
Well, again, I don't like to answer questions to law enforcement.
I understand completely, sir, but this is an immigration checkpoint.
Okay.
For me to be able to do my job, I just need to know that you are a legal resident of the United States or a U.S. citizen, sir. I just ask you a simple question, and you will be free to go as soon as we figure it out.
Well, what reason do you have to believe that I'm not here legally? I mean, what reason in the world? I was just driving down the road. What made you single me out to decide whether I'm a citizen or not?
I'm checking everybody, sir. I don't know if you noticed that we got a stop sign. We stop in every.
So you just kind of assume everybody's illegal until they can prove that they're legal? Is that how it works?
We just ask them directly.
Okay, well.
We did to you, and you told us that you were from Israel. So.
Well, I didn't say I was from Israel. I said I'm a citizen of Israel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just give me 1 second, sir.
So, sure.
Is the vehicle off?
The vehicle's running. You want me to turn it off?
Yeah.
So you don't have any immigration documentation with you?
I don't like to answer questions to law enforcement.
Okay.
I just like to keep my business to myself, do my own thing, not be harassed or molested at checkpoints. You know, I just like to live my life and have freedom.
All right, that's
good. So, because you know,
that's what you're saying.
According to the founding documents of our country, all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. So here's my thing. If our rights come from the creator, then that means that they don't come from government. Unless government created us.
You get a driving license to drive this vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, again, I don't like to answer questions to law enforcement.
Yes, you did, right? So you're abiding the law there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So why are you going to buy the state law? Why are you going to buy the immigration law?
Well, because according to the Declaration of Independence, I have certain inalienable rights.
What is your name?
Are you a peace officer?
No, what is your name?
Do I have to present my name to you when you're not a peace officer of the state of California? Because you're not really a peace officer.
Okay.
So why would I have to present my name to you?
I don't know if you're a U.S. citizen or not.
Uh-huh.
You're legally here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So until I determine that, you cannot leave.
Oh, okay.
You don't have immigration documentation, or you can give me your name and your date of birth so I can verify.
Well, why would I have immigration documentation? Am I immigrating right now? Like, have I crossed a border or anything? I thought I was already in the United States.
Yes.
So why? Yeah, but does every person in America have immigration documentation?
No.
No.
Yes.
So you're demanding that I show something that a lot of people don't have. Well, again, I don't like to answer questions.
You don't want to answer anything. So
I told you I'm a citizen of Israel. Well, I showed you in the Bible I'm a citizen of Israel.
Huh?
You know.
You're not telling me you're a citizen.
What's up?
I mean, I guess you could figure it out some other way, right?
You don't want to give me your name.
Here you go, sir.
You can figure out some other way.
This is our authority right here.
Okay.
C-1357.
This is my authority.
Okay. But this gives me the right to detain you until we know you're legally in the United States.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. You're claiming you're a citizen of Israel. You need to show me documents that says you can legally remain in the United States.
Mm.
That doesn't say you can legally remain here if you're a citizen of Israel. If you're a citizen of Israel, then you need to have a visa that lets you stay.
So I guess you guys need to figure out who I am or what country I'm a citizen of then.
Correct. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You just need your name and date of birth, and then we can check and to see if you have any legal immigration documents that allow you to remain in the United States.
So I don't have the right to remain silent? Am I being detained right now?
You are being
detained. Okay, so if I'm being detained right now, then I have the right to remain silent.
Good.
Okay, well then we can detain you until we know who you are and whether you're legally here or not.
Okay.
So you're not going to give us your name?
Well, I didn't say I wasn't going to give you my name.
I
asked you in return if I'm required by law to give you my name and what California law requires me to give you my name. Because I know I have to present my true name to a peace officer, but you're not a peace officer. Okay. You're a federal agent.
If you don't want to give us your name, we can take you down to our station in Calexico, and we'll roll your fingerprints, and we'll see if you come back in the system at the FBI.
So basically, you'll kidnap me and take me to Calexico if I don't tell you who I am?
You'd still be detained.
So what did I do to be stopped here? I was just driving down the road.
Yes.
I'm just going home.
And this authority gives
us...
We
only need mere suspicion.
So it's kind of similar to the Nazis, where they set up checkpoints?
That's your own opinion.
Yeah, that's your own opinion.
By law, we can stop you. By mere suspicion,
But what made you suspect me? What was your mere suspicion? You just said by law you can pull me over by mere suspicion. What was your suspicion?
Okay.
The look on my face?
Stop you. He asked if you were a citizen. Citizen.
Well, no. But you said you stopped me. But hold on a second. That was after you'd already stopped me.
I explained it to you.
All
right. You want me to explain you? We need mere suspicion to stop you.
Right, but you stopped me before you had any suspicion. Well, they stopped me. I don't know why I was stopped. I was just driving down the road and I came up to a stop sign and somebody had a dog and...
What they told you?
Well, they stopped me. You know?
I guess you have anything else to do, right? You can be here all day.
Well, I got plenty of stuff to do. I don't like being stopped at these checkpoints. Like, man, I got plenty of places to go. You guys seem like you guys don't have much to do. There must not be a lot of illegal immigration. I guess the economy's so messed up now, I guess they're not trying to come up here anymore, huh? So you guys have all this free time on your hands, so you can just use it to just harass people driving down Interstate 8 that aren't even crossing the border? I guess, you know, I mean, I guess it makes sense since the economy's all, since the federal government has screwed up the economy so bad. You know, I guess the Mexicans don't want to come up here anymore. I'll tell you what, man. I'll show you who I am. Okay. I'll show you some idea of who I am. How's that sound?
Sure.
Okay. Let me show you real quick. Here, this is a movie I produced. It's called After the Tribulation, and it's got me. That's me on the back right there. It's got my name right next to it. There you go. See, it says Pastor Stephen L. Anderson. It's got my picture right there. So there's my picture ID right there. See that? Does that work for you? In fact, you can keep it if you want. You can watch it if you like.
Print that up at your house. I don't know. I make DVDs.
Printed this up and here? Let me open the package and show you.
GoPro cameras too. I make movies all the time.
You make what kind of movies you make?
Huh?
What kind of movies you make?
Wakeboarding.
Oh, okay, cool. I used to do a lot of wakeboarding.
Okay, that's your name right there.
Yeah, I just told you my name. I showed you on the movie. You can open the package. It looks pretty pro to me.
Pastor Steve.
That don't look homemade.
And what's your date of birth?
Huh?
What's your date of birth?
Well, that's all the information that I'm willing to give right now. Huh?
I can do anything.
Well, do you have the internet?
No, I just need your...
Do you have the internet?
No.
You know how you guys don't have access to the internet?
Not right now.
Oh, okay.
You can open this right now.
Gotcha.
Can I have your date of birth, sir?
Well, that's what I'm willing to give you right now. This is the information.
You can't do anything.
You can't do anything with this? Well, if you pop it in and watch it, maybe there's some more clues about who I am. Do you have a DVD player? You guys have a DVD player?
I just need to know if you're a U.S. citizen or if you're legally here. I don't need to
okay.
know, like, more than that. Can I see that DVD again?
Yeah, sure. Here, you can keep it if you want. Yeah, you can have it.
Oh, great day, sir. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, there you go, folks at home. You want to get through a checkpoint? This is your passport right here, After the Tribulation. Check it out at www.afterthetribulation.com or watch the whole movie for free on YouTube.
So does everyone have the right to refuse Border Patrol's demands at state checkpoints? One Valley attorney says yes.
Do we all have the legal grounding to be able to say, I'm not going to answer that question?
I don't see why not. It's a border between states, and you have the ability to travel. I mean, you have the right to travel between states.
We don't care about the Fourth Amendment because we're not a business traveler. You know, we're not constantly going through checkpoints and having to be searched and all that. We don't care because, you know, that doesn't affect me. You know, the Fifth Amendment, I hardly ever even run into the police. But let me tell you something. I bet everybody in here believes in the First Amendment and thinks that's important. I bet you every single person in here thinks the freedom of religion is important. I'll bet you every single person who's here thinks that the freedom of speech is important. And yet, if they can take away the Eighth Amendment and say it doesn't mean anything, if they can take away the Sixth Amendment and not give you a trial by jury, not give you a speedy trial, if they can take away the Fourth Amendment and search you without a warrant, if they can take away the Fifth Amendment and force you to be interrogated and answer questions, if they can take away the Second Amendment and infringe upon your right to keep and bear arms. What's the word bear mean? To carry. But let me tell you something. If the Second doesn't matter, the Fourth doesn't matter, the Fifth doesn't matter, the Eighth doesn't matter, mark it down, the First Amendment will be gone. It'll be gone.
We are losing our freedoms in America. You better wake up. Right. Yesterday it was Pastor Anderson. Tomorrow it could be you or someone that you love.
That's right.
Now go ahead. Go ahead. Show your papers. Show your papers to the Soviets at the checkpoint. Go ahead. Answer all the questions to every police officer that wants to know what you had for breakfast this morning. But you know what? I'm going to stand up for the rights for which our forefathers died as enumerated by the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. Those rights didn't come from the U.S. government. They came from God.
That's right. Yeah.
On eastbound Interstate 8 one night, I encountered an all-too-familiar sight, a random checkpoint like you'd expect to see in the USSR or Nazi Germany. Why do I have to stop and show my papers? Hey, are we still in the USA? I haven't crossed any borders today. In fact, isn't Mexico 50 miles away? We have to search you, for our dog has said, "Ruff, ruff, he has drugs or a body that's dead." I'd like to know what that means, if I may. But the dog was quickly ushered away. And if we're still living in a free nation, where's your warrant upon oath or affirmation? Aren't these the rights for which our forefathers died? Why not let them search you if you've nothing to hide? This isn't liberty. The way you behave would make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. Don't you love America? What makes you so bold to trample the Constitution you're sworn to uphold? Have Jefferson and Adams been forever replaced by Janet Napolitano's ugly face? Has Homeland Security reached new heights that it supersedes the Bill of Rights? That I'm an American is plain to see. You've already run my plates and know I live in Tempe. I'm an American citizen on my way home from work. If I won't consent to searches, does that make me a jerk? I'm not required by law to open this door. I'm protected by Amendments 5 and 4. My pleas were met with a laugh and a jeer. Don't you get it? Your rights don't matter here. We'll search without a warrant, and if you won't say yes, then we'll just call the DPS. So the DPS arrives on the scene in order to assist the federal goons in green. Officer, I'm innocent. What have I done? If I've broken a law, then please name one. Be reasonable, officer. Will it really hurt to bring the dog back out and see if it will alert? Do you protect the citizens of Arizona anymore? Or have you simply become the federal government's whore? But the Border Patrol knew the truth, you see. They knew that dog wouldn't alert to me. I'll place you under arrest if you won't bow for failure to obey me right now. I told you before, I'm an officer of the law. When I say jump, you say how high. In fact, by now you've sealed your fate. I'll tase you for 20 seconds straight. Unfortunately, I was fooled by Agent Diaz's lies. There's gonna be glass, so cover your eyes. He really just wanted me not to see the ambush to my left being laid for me. Officer Mitchell broke the passenger window with a smile, then decided he might as well tase me for a while. The Border Patrol's five swings of the baton, and now my driver's side window was gone. And as the electricity continually flowed, my driver's side window began to explode. And because he felt I had given him sass, Agent Spoonamore shoved my face in the broken glass. My head was pressed into the glass on the door. Blood gushed out of every pore. 50,000 volts flowed through my chest. A regular police brutality fest. Next, I was rolled to the ground, and to my dread, a Border Patrol agent stepped on my head. I remembered a quote from a book I had read, 1984, and here's what it said. If you want to know the future of the human race, just picture a boot stamping upon a human face. They finally searched my car, and what did they find? No drugs, no bodies, and nothing of the kind. Then they let you go, I assume. No, my next stop was the emergency room. So after all the stitches were added to my head, and the nurses had cleaned up all the places I'd bled, I was taken to the station of the DPS, then from there to the jail where I was told to undress. They had underwear in two sizes, extra large and small, so I took extra large and made my single phone call. I was put into the cell where the lights are on 24/7 and lay down to sleep with my stitches 11. And so we've reached the end of my tale, me sleeping soundly in the county jail. What was my crime? What had I done? I stood up for my rights as an American.